I'd like to look to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4 this morning. Mark chapter 4. The setting of what Jesus is going to say here, these words of Jesus Christ, is right after that he had given the parable of the sower. And his disciples had asked him, "Lord, give us some more insight here. Give us some more light on what this thing means." And so Jesus had taken them aside. In verse 10 it says, "When he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of the parable." So this wasn't the huge crowd that heard the parable, but the 12 and then those other disciples round about were listening to Jesus, and they wanted to know more about the parable. So Jesus, in verses 13 through 20, gave them a greater explanation. He expounded the parable to them and more of its meaning. And so after he'd given them some very rich and valuable truth, he said in verse 21, "And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." I'd like to speak this morning with this thought: what are you doing with what you have? What are you doing with what you have? Jesus gives this analogy, which is not only here, but also other places in the Gospels, other places in the Scriptures, of light contracted to darkness. He says, "A candle brought, and you bring a candle, and you put it under a bushel," which was a measuring container. "Do you light a candle and you just stick something over it to extinguish that light? Do you light a candle and put it under your bed where it won't do any good?" Well, obviously, the answer to that question is no. Jesus, I believe what he's saying here to these disciples is this. He said, "I've just given you something incredibly valuable. I've just given you truth. I've just given you understanding." In verse 11, he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables." Jesus said, "Listen, unto you it has been given to know these mysteries. I have given you valuable truth. I have given you treasure. I have given you understanding. I have given you light. Now what will you do with that light?" We heard last night a message about appreciating being born again, appreciating being brought from darkness to light. And in Matthew 13, where is the parallel account of the parable of the sower, Jesus highlighted, he even expanded even more on what it meant, more of the privilege that it was for these disciples to have light and to have truth. And as we were reminded last night, we ought to be freshly thankful, freshly praising God if he's enlightened us, if he's brought us from darkness into light. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 16, he had just talked about people whose heart was waxed gross and their ears were dull of hearing. They couldn't hear and they didn't want to hear. They couldn't see and they didn't want to see. They couldn't hear the beautiful words of Christ and they didn't want to hear them. They couldn't see his precious light and his precious beauty and they didn't want it. They didn't want any part of it and they couldn't see it. But then Jesus said in verse 16, he contrasted, he said, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." Isn't that amazing? Jesus was highlighting, he was emphasizing to these disciples, "Listen to how blessed that you are," he said. These people, they hear the natural physical words, but they don't hear them really in the heart, and they don't even want to hear them. They can see me physically, they don't see my beauty, and they don't want to see me. He said, "But blessed are your eyes because you see and you hear." And he said, "The things that you're seeing and that you're hearing, many prophets and righteous men have longed to see these things." What was Jesus referring to? He was referring, of course, to those Old Testament prophets and Old Testament saints who looked ahead to the coming of the Messiah. Isaiah gave us incredible prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave us Isaiah 53 about the sufferings of the Messiah and how that he would save his people. He gave us that precious prophecy that unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor of the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But Isaiah never saw that. He died and went to glory before that came about. Many others had seen, had been given prophecies, had been given wonderful tidbits of truth about the Messiah, but they never saw the fulfillment of those things. But Jesus said, "You are seeing those today. Peter, John, James, Andrew, you are seeing the fulfillment of those prophecies. Those things that Isaiah spoke of, those things that Daniel spoke of the great king who would come. You see those things. They didn't get to see them, but you see them. And you hear that very one speaking those words to me." Moses said that God would raise up a prophet like unto him. Moses never saw it. But James, John, Andrew, you see that prophet. You see that great priest. You see that great one who would be the sacrifice, who would take away those sins. The Old Testament saints, all they saw was animal sacrifices. All they saw was the bleeding of goats and of lambs and that smell of flesh burning and that gory blood all around the tabernacle and the temple. That's all they saw with their eyes. They had an eye of faith that looked forward to what that would fulfill. But they didn't see the fulfillment of that. But these disciples in this age saw it. He said, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Now listen, I recognize we don't see the physical Christ, the God incarnate walking on earth with our physical eyes as Peter, James, John, Andrew, Matthew, the others saw. But listen, if our eyes have been opened and our hearts have been made alive and we've been given spiritual eyes, we see that same Savior by faith. Our eyes are blessed. Our ears are blessed to hear the good news of a Savior of sinners who would die, who would take away our sins. One who would redeem us with His blood. Blessed are your eyes. Listen, today, if you have seen the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've been made to love Him, you've been made to be sorry for your sins, I say unto you, blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. You know what Jesus said, or James said? He said, "Hath not God chosen the poor of this world?" What did he say? "Rich in faith." These individuals who were impoverished in natural things, who went through great challenges naturally, he said, "But you are rich in faith." Look at what Jesus said to the church. I have to find which one it is in Revelation. I think it's the church at Smyrna. It is the church at Smyrna in Revelation chapter 2. Notice what Jesus said to them. They were going through hard times. They were going through great difficulty, as we'll see here what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 8. "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." And notice what Jesus said. Listen to what these people were going through. "I know thy works and tribulation and poverty." That's quite a list there. I know your works, your tribulation, and your poverty. "But thou art rich." Is he contradicting himself? Is he confused? No. He said, "You're poor in the things of this world. You're going through tribulation here in your journey here, but thou art rich." Who's saying that? Is the stockbroker saying those words? No, it's the one who is dead and is alive forevermore. The one who has all authority. The one who has all wisdom. The one whose words really mean something. And he says to these people at Smyrna, and he says to us today who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "Thou art rich. You are wealthy. You are abundant. You see, you hear what really matters. You see the Lord Jesus Christ with physical eyes." Listen, brothers and sisters, you are rich if you're in Him. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. If you have been raised under, if you've been given, even if you haven't been raised, but you have it now, sound gospel preaching of not only of knowing of the Savior, but knowing of the truths of sovereign grace, of knowing a successful Savior who actually accomplished redemption, who didn't just make it a potential thing, who didn't just die a potential death, but died a death that actually accomplished our redemption. If you've been taught that and you've been made to see that, blessed are your eyes, blessed are your ears. If you've been taught of a sovereign God who does His will, who accomplishes His will, who not one who He has chosen, He will not fail to shoot that arrow, as Psalm 45 says, into their hearts and they'll fall before Him. He will get His man. He will get His woman. He will find that woman at the Samaritan woman at the well. He'll find that thief on the cross. He'll find Zacchaeus up there in a tree. He'll find His man. If you've been made to see that and believe that and rejoice in it, I tell you, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Brothers and sisters, you've been given something precious, and I have too. You've been given a candle. You've been given light in the midst of a dark world. You and I have been blessed abundantly, richly. The Lord has called us rich. He's given us rich truth. Now, what are we going to do with that? What are we going to do with that? He said to these disciples, he said, "Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel? Or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but it should come abroad." What Jesus was saying to these disciples here was this. Jesus was saying, I can't concentrate, hold on a second. It's happened to me before too. Don't worry about it. Jesus was saying to them, "Listen, you've been blessed with light. You've been blessed with understanding. You've been blessed with rich truth. Now, what are you going to do with that? Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel? Do you hide it? Well, I believe what Jesus was saying to them is this. He says, listen, you've been given light. You've been given truth. Now you must shine that truth. You must live that truth. You must preach that truth. You must spread that truth. You must love that truth. That's what Jesus was saying to them. He was saying to them, I've given you something precious. I've given you light in the midst of a dark world. Now you need to shine the light. Now, why has the Lord given us light? The Lord has given us light for us. He's given us light so that we can embrace Him. He's given us light so that we can love Him, so that we can trust Him, so that we can serve Him. He's given us light so that we ourselves can glorify Him. So He has given me light for me so that I can see. But listen, God has not given us light. He's not given you light. He's not given His church light so that we can just hoard it ourselves. He's not given us the candle just so that we can keep the candle ourselves. But the Lord has given us light and He's given us truth with the intent that we are to shine that light and to preach and to spread that truth. And aren't you thankful that the disciples of the early age obeyed that command? They went everywhere. They preached the word in the face of opposition. They preached the word with the power of the Holy Spirit. They went to pagan centers. They went to dark places like Athens, like Corinth, like Philippi, like Ephesus. They went to dark places and they preached the word of God. They shined the light, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, applying that to the hearts of the hearers, God blessed in mighty ways. God has given us light so that we can shine it. We've heard a lot about, already even, and it's true, about the darkness of the world we live in. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I like to just, would like to have a cave mentality. I just like to say, let's just all meet in here and worship the Lord and then just, you know, forget it after that. Let's just protect ourselves here. You know, that wasn't the attitude of the early church. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, the church, as you know the story well, Stephen was put to death. No doubt that shocked them. No doubt it shook them to some degree to see Stephen, one of their own, a deacon, a man who preached a powerful sermon there in Acts 7, to see him put to death. And so, after that happened, there continued to be persecution. The church, which was centered at Jerusalem, was spread abroad. It says in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his, that's Stephen's death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. All I can do is read that. I really can't identify with that. I really can't. I haven't lived that. I haven't been there. I haven't been where my deacon, my preacher, was put to death. And we were all scattered abroad. And my temptation would be to go and say, people go to a new place, people say, well, who are you? Well, I'm, you know, so-and-so, and I'm just here to find work. But they said, no, we're here. We're here. We're followers. We're servants of Jesus Christ. They went everywhere preaching the word. God has given us light so that we can spread that light, so that we can preach that light. Listen, it's a blessing to see these brethren go overseas, and that's a pretty common thing nowadays. But don't lose the wonder of that. Listen, because you play a vital role in your prayers, in your support, and your encouragement. Don't lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of what's going on. That light is being disseminated. That truth is being proclaimed. Don't lose the wonder of that. And don't act as if that you have nothing to do with it, because you have a great part to play in that. And it's a vital, important thing. Brother Bobby said something one time about how that God sees the importance of the spreading of His gospel. He said, you know, that when people started being killed and martyred and imprisoned for preaching the gospel in his early age, God didn't quit sending His ministers. Even when people lost their life, God didn't say, well, you know what, this price is a little too high. This price is a little too much. No, He kept sending His men. He kept sending His men. I'd have to have courage to be one of those men. I'd have to have His grace to be one of those men that He sent. But even the Apostle Paul, when he was in prison in Colossians chapter 4, notice what Paul prayed. Notice what he asked the Colossians to pray for him when he was in prison. He was in prison for preaching the word. He was in prison for that. And yet, notice what he was asking them to pray for. He didn't say, now, y'all pray that I'll get out of here soon. They probably did pray that, and he probably appreciated it and probably prayed it some himself. He didn't say, y'all pray that I'll get better food, although he probably wanted that too and probably did pray for that. But notice what he said in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. He said, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Withal, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. What was Paul? He said, listen, I'm here in prison. I want you to pray for me. And what's he asking to pray for? He's in prison for preaching the word. He says, keep praying that God would keep opening up doors for me. Keep praying that God would keep giving me opportunities to preach the word. That's amazing. That's amazing courage indeed that he had. But you know, it's not just preaching to those who are without, which we need to do and to live. But in Psalm 78, notice what also instruction is given to us of how we ought to also spread the light. In Psalm 78, the Lord talks about not hiding that candle, but shining that candle to our children. I guess as I have small children now, these things become more important and I think about them more. But I want to arise up today and call my own parents blessed and other elderly saints of the church who have not kept that light to themselves, but have shined that light to their children. In Psalm 78, listen to these incredible words. He says, give ear, O people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. Get this. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. Notice that. He says, we want to show the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. Some of my favorite times that I've ever had is listening to my old man over here telling me stories of his past, of how that God blessed him. And his eyes still get pretty big, and he gets pretty excited about what God did in days past. And to sit and hear my grandmother talk about God, amazing way that He worked in their life. And what were they doing? They were showing me the strength of the Lord. They were showing me the wonderful works that He has done. They didn't hide them from their children. They taught the Word of God. Listen, we have a treasure. We have a gift. What will we do with the light that we've been given? We must teach it to those below us, our children. We must live it. And listen, we must pray for our younger generation. And I'm right there in that, so I'm soliciting your prayers. We must pray for our younger generation that they would hold that light. That they also, the Spirit would illuminate their heart. Because listen, there's a lot of darkness in this world, as we've already said. There's a lot of attacks on young folks. We must ask God to help them to see that light. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but there's a dear sister at our church at Collierville who's a great-grandmother. And her great-granddaughter did not have an ideal home situation. But that great-grandmother, in the midst of her aches and her pains, when her great-granddaughter still lived here, would bring her to church constantly. Constantly bring her to the house of God. Now, if you could have said, you know, she's just three, she's just four, she won't understand anything, she won't get anything out of it, or I'm tired today, I'm hurting, I don't want to put up with her. But she faithfully brought her to the house of God. Why? Because she saw something. She had something that was precious and valuable. And she wanted her little loved one also to see how precious and valuable that is. And my prayer is that God would honor the efforts of that great-grandmother in the life of that little one. Praise God for dear saints who see how valuable the light is and disseminate it and give it to their children and grandchildren and yea, even their great-grandchildren. That's precious. What will we do with what we have? Not only in the things of what we have in the way of the gospel and communicating that and spreading that, but listen, what will we do with what we have? What will we do with the church of God? Do we prize the house of God? Do we prize the fellowship of the saints? You know, we all, let's just admit it, we're sinners and sometimes we annoy each other. We rub each other the wrong way. Somebody says something they shouldn't. But you know, I bet you just go for a month without being around another saint. You just go a month without being around a like-minded brother or sister. If it was me, I'd be in trouble. I'd be hungry for fellowship. That person was kind of getting on my nerves, I'd be giving them a big old hug. Let's spend some time together. What are we doing with our brothers and sisters? Are we loving them? Are we encouraging them? Or are we gossiping? Are we thinking critically? Are we hindering? Or are we building up? What are we doing with what we have? Listen, we have brothers and sisters in Christ, gifts and treasures that God has given to us. What are we doing with the Word of God?
Listen, we have no excuse in our day.
He talked about the printing press last night and about it, how people had to come and listen to a man with a Bible chained to a pulpit just read that word. We have no excuses. We have a treasure chest right here. Young people, you have a treasure chest right here in the Word of God. There's many things you can spend your time in. There's many things that you can read. There's many things that you can be entertained by. But listen, what are you doing with the Word of God? What are you doing with the treasure that God has given to you? What are you doing with the house of God? You've been blessed to hear the gospel. You've been blessed to hear the whole counsel of God, a treasure, a gospel that will build your life up and will give you a solid foundation to live by. What are you doing with what you have? God has given us something valuable. He's given us something precious. Will we squander it? Will we waste it? I remember the parable of the talents that Jesus gave in Matthew 25. And you know the story of those talents, which was a form of money. And how that Jesus gave to one servant 5 talents. And that servant, the master was gone. That servant used those talents well and gained more talents. And the Lord honored him. The man with 2 talents did the same. He gained 2 other talents. The Lord honored him. But then the last fellow who was just given 1 talent, you know what he did? He didn't do a thing in the world with it. He didn't do a thing. He went and he buried it. He had a gift. He had a treasure. He had something that was not his, that was entrusted to him. He had something that was entrusted to him, and he did something valuable. He did nothing with it. He went and he buried it. Young person, old person, whoever we are, what will we do with what we have? What will we do with our freedom while we still got it? What will we do with our treasure? What will we do with our time? What will we do with our days? What will we do with what God has graciously given to us? In the book of Luke, chapter 12, Jesus is giving a lesson here. In Luke 12, Jesus is basically talking about the person who has much will be required much. And I'll just read one portion of this verse, just the last portion. I won't read the whole thing, but just the last portion of Luke chapter 12 in verse 48. Somebody said, well, I haven't been given much. I haven't been given that ideal home situation. I haven't been given those godly parents that love the Lord and have brought me up. I've had a rough past. I've had rough situations. I have rough circumstances. Well, I understand that. I can't fully understand it. But I can empathize with it. I can recognize not everybody has maybe as many blessings as I've had. I can recognize that some people have had different hardships, different challenges. But you've been given something. You've been given life. You've been given breath. Jesus said about that dear sister, he said she had done what she could. She did what she could with what she had. In Luke chapter 12, in verse 48, it says, For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Did you hear that? Jesus' words. For unto whomsoever much is given, much will be required. God's given me a lot. That verse challenges me, inspires me, and also scares me. Sobers me. He's given me much. He's given me treasures. He's given me gifts. He's given me so many blessings. What will I do with what he's given to me? Young person, what will you do with your youth? What will you do with your youth? It's good even to see old people here today, older folks, who are doing what they can with their old age. In the midst of their aches and pains, they're doing what they can. They're still coming to the house of God when they can. They still pour out their heart in prayer for the saints of God. They do what they can. Jesus said, I've given you a candle. Disciples, I've given you something rich. Your eyes see things that people have wanted to see and have not seen them. You've been given truth. You've been given life. You've been given blessings. He says, now go and use it. Brothers and sisters, what will we do with what we have? May God bless you.